Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, beautiful humans. Welcome to episode 14 of Grovercation. Sincere apologies for the delay on this week's episode. I've had a lot going on in my life recently. I was in an accident and a couple of other things just led to the delay. And I'm so, so sorry, but I promise you the delay is absolutely worth it. My guest this week is an amazing, amazing woman, and I learned so much personally, and we share a very similar industry. She's incredible. She is a porn star. I am a glamour model, and of course I run my Patreon. We are both classed as sex workers. However, our worlds are still vastly different. It's, and also very similar, but vastly different. And I find that a lot of sex workers get grouped together, lumped together, which is especially obvious in the light of the Foster-Sester bills coming around in the USA. The bills are now going through Congress, and they're really going to fuck up a lot of shit for our American sisters, and then therefore us as well. For those of you that don't know what they are trying to stop sex trafficking, but they're basically just a mask for the government being able to crack down on websites hosting adult images and adult movies. And therefore, our livelihood is being taken away from us simply because people don't understand that sex work is work. Come on, guys. So I get a unique insight into this from Carly. She's an amazing woman. Yeah, my guest, Carly Ray. She's a fucking incredible girl. I'm really excited for you guys to listen. I learned so much, and I came away from this episode, I know I always say this, but I came away from this episode feeling so, like, happy and positive, and I think it really put a smile on your face. So, have a listen, guys. Just by listening, you are supporting sex workers, so thank you. You can do so much more, though. Make sure you support sex workers, or our industry is going to disappear, and everything that you enjoy about it will also disappear. Things down to the little things, like Patreon, that'll be gone. You don't want to lose that, do you? Hell no. All right, team. I'm coming to you from my sunny hotel in Brighton. Please enjoy this week's guest. Of course, you can always find me online at Cats and Crows. KatesandCrows. You can also find me on my Patreon, patreon.com/RebeccaCrowUK. And you can always, of course, find me at my club night, Disgrace with Suicide Girls. We have a party on the 11th of May. It's going to be wild. And you need to come. Grab yourself a ticket now. All right. Beautiful humans, please welcome this week's guest, Carly Ray, to episode 14 of Grovercation.
When I was growing up, all my role models were male. I didn't see anyone I could relate to in the press, online, anywhere. Now, I'm surrounded with the most phenomenal women. They've each endured unique hardships and survived. More than survived, they thrive. But still, women are not equal in the world, not represented in the media, not treated equally online, and still subjected to sexism in everyday life. Alternative women especially are more a hashtag than they are real humans. I want to change that. I want you to see the women I see. want you to hear them. This is Clovisation.
Hi, beautiful humans. So, today I have a wonderful guest. She is a leading figure in her industry. She's done some documentaries. You may have seen her on the telly. You may have seen her on your laptop. She is the wonderful Carly Rae. Hey, Carly.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, girl. So, Carly, for those of those listening who don't know who you are and what you do, can you give us a little rundown?
So I've been working in the adult industry for just over 5 years now as an adult film star. So amazing. I've been everywhere, done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You might notice me. You might recognize me.
Do you ever find that? Do you find people recognize you in the street, but they don't know where from?
Much more when I was younger, when I was at university and it all came out and it was like a big shocking thing to a lot of people.
Oh, really?
Yes, all the time. But
oh, God.
So, nowadays, people kind of, they might look, they might kind of whisper or point, but no one says anything to me.
Aww.
I think intimidation comes first.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm sure. Well, I mean, you're an intimidating figure. You're obviously a very successful person. I've seen that you did a documentary as well on the BBC, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So
amazing.
It was a couple of years ago now, but I loved every second of it, I think. Yeah, I did something that not many people would have done within the adult industry.
Yeah, so tell me about that. How was it? How were the BBC to work with?
Really good. They allowed me to be part of the process from start to beginning, and the editing process throughout, obviously, deciding what would actually make it into the programme. They allowed me to be a part of that, which is very unusual. It's pretty much unheard of ordinarily.
Yeah, that's great. I find sometimes people, especially when they don't understand an industry, especially the adult industry, they can be kind of intrusive.
Yes, yeah, there were a few moments where obviously I said something and it was quite an unusual thing or quite a big thing for them to just, for me to say it as such a normalised thing.
Yeah,
quite
that's awesome though. Do you think that's an important part of society perhaps not coming to terms with, obviously it's not bad or anything, but like kind of normalizing, I guess, the sex industry, the sex work.
Completely, yeah. I think particularly our generation, we're growing up now, and I think we're far more liberated than obviously the generations before us. We have a different insight into all these things.
Yeah, I feel like it's come forwards in leaps and bounds, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, with the kids that got the internet, everything was going to change.
Oh, yeah, the internet must have been a huge part of it. What do you think, so apart from the internet, or perhaps it is just the internet, what do you think's really helped this kind of, like, sexual liberation?
I think it's just the way people talk about it nowadays. Like, it's all over TV, people talk about it on the radio and everything. Like, people aren't as wary of talking about sex as they once were. It's just something you talk about to your friends, to anyone and everyone, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely have conversations with my friends about my sex life, about previous sexual encounters and stuff like that.
What WhatsApp groups are made for.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. So, the BBC documentary, you speak about people being more open about sex. What was, like, the public's reaction to that? What was your friends' reaction to that?
I was actually very overwhelmed. They prepared me for the absolute worst, the BBC.
Right.
They stipulated you're going to get people sending hate messages, saying disgusting things.
Oh,
they were like, don't spend all your time on the internet. But it was the complete opposite. I've received nothing but positive feedback on Twitter. Even to this day, I get so many nice, like, supportive messages from just strangers. It's everything I wanted it not to be.
Oh, my God, that's so good to hear.
I think I've had a couple of Jesus comments, so that's as bad as it got. I think
I've probably had
people telling me I need to find God.
Oh, no. I mean, that's not helping anyone, is it? I mean, I'm absolutely not going to tell anyone what to believe, but if you're the one going around telling other people what to do, it can't be a good thing, right?
No, they're always the most intrusive people as well, the ones that send you those page-long messages.
Oh, my God, absolutely. So what's the most negative reaction you've ever had to your kind of career, and how did you overcome that? How did you get past it?
I feel most weary around women just because I don't know how they're going to react. Either it's a girl power kind of do what you want, I love what you're doing, or the other spectrum. I've seen girls go from liking me when I'm just a normal person, and then they find out what I do, and it's boom, completely change of opinion just like that.
How bizarre. Like, if somebody told you they did, for example, they were a dentist or something, you would never just drop someone because of their job, would you? It's such a unique thing, I feel like, to the sex industry.
Yeah, yeah, it completely frazzles my brain, but...
It's crazy, because... isn't it? So no. If you were to give somebody some advice, if somebody who has never met a porn star, never met anyone in the adult industry, how would you want them to react?
I think it should just be a normalised thing. At the end of the day, we're still very normal girls. We're not dislike any other women. All the girls I know within the industry, we're all kind of like the tomboys, I would say. We don't really care that much. We're just, yeah. The normal girl you could talk to on a night out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sex work is work. I feel like that's the kind of prevailing vibe right now, isn't it? Especially when all these foster and sester bills are going through.
Yes, it's all very hectic in America right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So for my listeners listening who don't know what the foster sester bills are, they're two bills, or are they the same bill? Do you know, Carly?
I think they're two different bills, but they've kind of been combined together from what I've read on the subject.
Yeah, so FOSTA stands for Fight Online Sex Trafficking, and SESTA stands for Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers. Obviously, sex trafficking and human trafficking is a huge, huge issue, but do you find that the rest of your industry is kind of being grouped in with that?
I feel like they've taken extreme measures, and they're not... I understand things they've done. I see where they're coming from. I think there are two sides to every story.
Completely.
But I think they're targeting, obviously, porn actresses and people in the adult industry. Like, our online presence is what they're attacking.
Yeah, yeah, it's mostly online, isn't it? It's kind of websites, they're holding websites responsible for user-uploaded content.
Yes, I understand why some of them have been shut down, but... It's the same people playing video games, particularly in America. They have guns everywhere. It's like they're nitpicking on little things just to blame someone, basically.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? Some things in America are completely fine. Like, people will go around shooting each other. But the second you mention porn or escorting or anything that's legal, it's crazy. They lose their minds. So, Carly, do you have any friends in America that have been personally affected by these bills at the moment?
I don't personally know anyone, no. Obviously, I've seen big effects on Twitter.
Mm.
Even on our side of the pond, shadow banning and stuff like that. Obviously, our hashtags don't work anymore. There's so many different things that are going on that, it's affecting the whole industry. It's affecting the whole adult industry.
It really is, isn't it? I know a lot of people, as you said, it's an American bill and it is affecting our American sisters, obviously, a lot more and a lot more, like, kind of immediately. But eventually it's going to come over and it's going to bite us in the ass. Like you said, the shadow banning, I've noticed some of, I think hashtag woman is even a shadow banned hashtag, which is insane.
Really?
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It's completely crazy. Have you found it impact you in any way? Like, have you noticed a decline in work or anything like that?
I'm not sure. I think a lot of my followers on Twitter, kind of what I would describe as ghost followers, they're people that have discovered me because of the documentaries. They're not actively liking stuff or
engaging, retweeting.
So I do feel like, I think my presence on my profile kind of has stayed about the same, but there's no increase, whereas I was getting a lot more views after the documentary and stuff. It's kind of just mellowed out. I'm not losing anything, but I'm not gaining anything at the same time.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, social media is so important to our job, isn't it? Like, I don't know about you, but for me, it's absolutely my main way of getting work.
Yes, it's how I make a living, through social media.
Completely. So, like, what can people do to support sex workers online? Like, can we do any better?
I think people should just continue buying content, showing your support to your favourite performers, whether that's through, you can do sponsorship, you can sign up to their websites. Obviously, a lot of people is it Patreon or Patron?
Yeah, I have a Patreon. It's so good. Honestly, it's provided such financial security for me. Obviously, our jobs are quite up and down. You get paid job by job. But it's something that really gives like a sustainable regular income, so I can actually like judge.
Yeah, we're all about passive income. That's what I keep on saying. That's how I make my living. Signing up to OnlyFans, checking out my website. It's a couple of quid to you, but it means so much to us in the long run. You're physically paying my bills.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? Like, I feel like you mentioned earlier, the internet is obviously changing the way people see porn and sex work and stuff, but then I guess the rise of like free porn on like Pornhub and RedTube and stuff like that, is that damaging to your industry in any way, do you think?
A lot of the big companies I found, they leak their own content, they leak little bits.
Oh, really? Because
I know particularly on Pornhub, you do get paid. You get paid on revenue on your videos.
Oh, that's good.
So I keep meaning to look into it. I haven't yet done it, but it does seem to be pretty lucrative. But in regards to people obviously stealing your content, and most of the time I believe they do, they will pull it down for you. But it's kind of just one of those, isn't it? If they're going to put it on some dodgy website,
yeah,
that could be it forever.
That's so true. I guess it happens to everyone. Like, I obviously have Suicide Girls sets on suicidegirls.com, and they're forever being stolen and uploaded on random websites, and it does devalue it in a way, doesn't it? It's damaging to not just the company, it's damaging to the personal person.
Yeah, I'm far less inclined to put stuff on free websites, even putting full content on, like, well, OnlyFans and stuff like that. It's a bit hesitant, like, yeah. What if someone was to one day just steal it all? Or I've heard things about many videos about girls having they upload a video, then the next week it's straight onto a porn site. So
that's so unfair. Why do you think people do that? Why do you think they don't see it? Obviously they know you're being paid, they know it's your job. Why do you think they don't like see it as a moneymaker?
I'm not sure. I think maybe people are just a bit desensitized to what porn is and what its actual worth is to people. They just see it as something that's freely accessible on the internet.
Mm.
You understand, obviously, there's a lot of hard work, a lot of grafting. We put so many hours into each little project we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said earlier, sex work is work, and it really is a career, isn't it? Like, when they see you, maybe like a 10, 20-minute video, they really don't know how much work goes into that.
No, they don't understand. You woke up at 7 in the morning to douche, and then you had to do all this, your makeup for 2 hours, and yeah, a lot of sitting around. You have to do all the photos for the video,
yeah,
the actual video. Like, yeah, there's a lot more to it than the 20 minutes you see, the 10 minutes you skip past, because you don't want to see all the acting.
Yeah, all the beginning bit, the plumber turning up. Yeah, exactly. So obviously the porn industry is something I've never personally been a part of, and I don't actually know how it kind of plays out. So how's the whole process between booking the job and then seeing the finished product come to life? Can you give us like a rundown of the in-between?
It's very much a waiting game. After the filming's actually taken place to the release, you're very much kind of left in the dark.
Yeah.
It's not, obviously, you sign a contract, you sign away your right to know about this footage. So it is very much waiting for someone to start tweeting pictures or tweeting a video link at you. And then
You don't even get told?
No, just because most of these companies are so big, they've got so much content coming in every day, there's no way of knowing.
Yeah, I suppose exactly. They're like big film companies, really, aren't they? Yeah, they're huge, huge companies.
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah, the amount of videos get produced each year must be something crazy.
Yeah, oh my God, I can imagine. So there's obviously companies that produce porn. Are they like big parent companies, or is it like lots of little companies?
The British industry particularly has changed so much. In the 5 years I've been around, it's gone from, back in the day when I started out, there were so many little amateur companies, little production companies. And then when all the laws changed over here, that was a massive impact on the British industry. Pretty much, it wiped out a lot of our fetish websites. They all had to go.
I remember that, yeah. There was a protest outside Parliament, and there was like a mass face-sitting or something, wasn't there?
Yes, yeah, it changed so much. It affected so many companies. But I think the past 2 years, maybe, we have been building back. We're getting more of these big American names coming over. So our production company is getting its leaps and bounds. We're not having to completely rely on our own British companies or British productions.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I actually completely forgot about those laws. It was quite a while ago now. I'd say about 5 years ago.
Yeah. I hadn't been around that long.
Why do you think the governments keep trying to restrict it? Like, if nobody's getting hurt and it's completely consensual, surely it should be fine.
I think it's down to a lack of understanding. They see words on the paper and they presume that's the right thing to do. Obviously, it's completely legal for me to do a bukkake or something for like 30 men to come on me. But if I'm to squirt on one person, that makes it illegal.
That's so insane.
two different sides of the story now. It's all quite sexist.
It is. I was about to say, with the squirting thing, obviously that is much more damaging to women. Women are the ones who squirt, and we are the illegal one.
Yeah, yeah. See, if it happens in the scene, we have to cut it out. If you go to Europe, it's fine. You can come as much as you want. But if we do it here in England, it has to be cut out of the scene, so...
That's so bizarre. It seems like it should be such a natural process to film, like a porno, but you have to chop it up quite a lot. You must have to, like, stop and start. It must make it difficult.
It's exhausting. When you're under those hot lights, you're trying to have sex, you're trying to look pretty and not ruin your makeup. Yeah, I can go for a while, but, yeah, you need a break every so often just for a bit of water to cool down.
Yeah, of course. It's so funny, like, obviously, like I said earlier, people see the 20-minute movie, they don't see the work that goes in. It sounds like such a normal job, the way you're describing. Like, people have to take breaks, people have to get water, people go for lunch.
Yeah, I'd say it's very normal. It's just, yeah, normal people just doing a normal job, obviously. There's nothing weird about it, or, yeah, everyone just treats it as a professional job.
Yeah. So, before you made your debut in the adult industry, did you have any idea about all of this? Is there any way to find out kind of the ins and outs of it, or did you just dive in head first?
Me, a random man got in contact with me a very long time ago and kind of mentioned Adult Work to me, the website, and said, this is this website, this is what you can do. Have you ever considered going into the adult industry? I'm 18, I don't have a clue about any of it, but I was a little bit slutty, I was a little bit curious. Mm. So I put it off, got to about 19, student, I'm broke, and I just thought about it and started selling little video clips I had on my phone, which turned out to be quite lucrative, so that was great. 19 years old, making the odd bit of money for a crappy 2-megapixel video I've got on my phone.
Oh my God, I mean, of course, everybody's going to chase the money. I think everyone assumes it's quite a well-paid industry, don't they?
It could be. It depends what you're doing. The expectations that kind of like American press give you about you'll get $3,000 for your first boy-girl video and stuff like that, I think it's ludicrous. It's not the case. I think they set the expectations way too high.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's one of those industries that it seems so glammy and glamorous. I mean, the industry I'm in is called glamour modelling, but personally, I think it's far from glamorous.
No, the pain you put your back through, arching into all those different positions, sticking your bum out, it looks pretty, but my back is ruined.
Oh, babe, I'm sure. So how long have you been in the industry now? How many years?
I started just before my 20th birthday, so just over 5 years now.
Amazing. So are the girls, when you first joined the industry, obviously women do this pretty much as a long-term career for most of their lives. Were there any women that kind of like mentored you or gave you some tips and tricks or helped you get jobs or anything?
No, I pretty much did it all by myself. I wanted to do something, so I made it happen pretty much.
I mean, that's a fucking dream, isn't it, girl?
I did. I'm proud of myself. I'm glad of where it brought me to.
Yeah, you absolutely should be proud of it. Is it something that you see as like a long-term career, or would you like to progress into something related to it or unrelated?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I don't know the correct term or phrase, when you're good at lots of different creative things. Like, there's lots of, I've always been a very creative person, so I love photography, I love producing my own films and directing, so kind of, I think I'll always be working in the creative industries. I would quite like it to kind of link back to the adult side of things, but who knows, really? Happy to do anything.
I mean, that's clearly your forte. You're doing it incredibly well. You're very successful.
Thank you very much.
So, Carly, as kind of like a figurehead in your industry, do you have any tips or advice for women who are looking to get into the adult industry?
I would always recommend having a strong portfolio beforehand. I went into the adult industry having never modelled before. I knew nothing about posing or doing my hair, doing my makeup, and I definitely feel that's where I kind of fell behind to begin with. No one particularly took me seriously because I didn't know what I was doing in regards to photos. So don't be scared to get in front of the camera, glamour modelling, any kind of modelling really, just so you know what you're doing, because that shines through over anything.
Completely.
It doesn't matter how good you are at sex. If you don't know how to model and look pretty, then you kind of, yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're being filmed, so you've kind of got to compose yourself.
Yeah, they want a certain look. They want you to kind of hit a certain standard.
Yeah, completely, completely. So, in your whole career, have you had any highlights? What's been, like, the best thing that's ever happened?
The opportunities that I've been presented with, I could never have imagined. When I was in university, I never could have imagined that I'd have the opportunity to travel from country to country. Obviously, I've seen so much of Europe. I've got to experience so many new things and be a part of beautiful work, really. I'm proud of everything I've done in my later years.
That's fucking awesome, girl. It's so nice to hear such a positive outlook, because there's obviously a lot of negativity right now, especially with the foster sister thing. It's so nice to hear that you enjoy your job and you enjoy traveling, and it really can open doors for people.
Yes, completely. I don't know where my life would have been if I'd gone down the fashion route. Obviously, I think I'd be working in an office every day doing something that I like, but not something I'm really passionate about, or I want to go to work every day. I want to go to my different shoots, but I can't imagine myself being happy going to the same office every day and doing kind of the same mundane routine.
Oh my God, same girl. Honestly, my absolute phobia is doing the same thing every day, every day, every day. And of course, obviously some people it suits, but I think some people it really doesn't, and that's okay.
I just love keeping it interesting. Every day is a different day.
Yeah, completely. And people, yeah, obviously they don't see that side of it at all. They don't see the travelling. They don't see... Have you made, quite good friends in the industry and stuff? You've got, a good circle?
Yeah, I have no issues with anyone. I've never come across a bad person, really. Obviously, you can get a few people that you hear are a bit of a diva, but no one takes anything to the extremes. We're all, yeah, lovely bunch of people.
Oh, that's so fucking awesome. So it's quite like girl power.
Yeah, yeah, all the men are nice as well. Obviously, you set your limits. You say, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm comfortable doing. And people won't force you into doing anything or kind of push you over your comfortability. Everyone's there to support each other and have a good time.
That's so great. It's funny because you're saying all this and it contradicts so much with the... I find a lot of women parading under the banner of feminism, but actually they're trying to tell you that you're being exploited and you're being taken advantage of, whereas it's from talking to you, it's the complete opposite.
No, I couldn't disagree more. I think it's brought nothing but positives into my life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What do you think, what would you like to say to the people who are trying to tell you that you're the one being exploited or you're the one being taken advantage of?
I'd just say that obviously everyone's entitled to their own opinions, but what's right for one person is something completely different to another person. You might not agree with the things I do or the way I talk or dress, but at the end of the day, that's what makes me me. So as long as I'm happy, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. As long as you're happy and you're safe, and I honestly don't see the problem. It's so bizarre that people, they take so much time out of their day to try and tell you that you're in trouble when perhaps they should maybe try and tackle real issues?
Yeah, or it's normally something more rooted to home. If you have a problem with something, then maybe maybe it's you're just taking it out on someone just because.
Yeah, I think people, like we said earlier, people just aren't aware at all. Do you think we need to, like, educate people, like, maybe sex ed in school? We need to involve, like, porn in that? Because obviously porn is a huge part of how most people learn anything about sex.
Completely. I couldn't agree more. I've said it to a fair amount of people recently that us as a generation, I definitely feel like we were failed on sex education in regards to school.
Really?
I know the curriculum hasn't been updated in, I think it's 20-odd years.
Really?
Since the curriculum hasn't been updated. So you can't blame kids for going on the internet and trying to watch porn trying to learn things from the internet.
Completely. I mean, personally, most of my sex ed came from porn. Like, I started watching porn at a young age. I feel like everybody does. And we're not taught until we're a lot older that it is unrealistic, I suppose, because it is the highlight reel, like you say.
Yeah, I think there's a different way to go about it. And I think they're pushing it under the rug. They don't really want young people to be able to talk about sex when clearly everyone knows about it. Boys tell you about it. From whatever young age, it's always something that's going to be talked about in the playground.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Like, in school, I always remember it was something that we kind of, like, snickered about or laughed about or something, but I feel like it would be so much more beneficial to everyone if it was an open conversation.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what kids need. They just need to be sat down and said, what is it you would like to know? Just, I will answer any questions you have. Yeah. Just tell me, what are you curious about?
Exactly. Absolutely. It's better to know. And on the subject of knowing more, knowledge is power, what is one thing that you've learned about the adult industry that you did not expect to learn at all? What would you tell yourself, like, oh my God, like your younger self, oh my God, this is something that I had no idea about that I now know?
The main thing that changed me within the industry was kind of, I had a very naive attitude towards life before, and it made me grow up very quickly. It stopped me being this young child. I was maybe a bit of a pushover to begin with, and it taught me that I have to be this person. I have to act a certain way and be self-assured to be taken serious, really, within the industry and within real life.
Yeah. So it's definitely helped you grow, like, confidence and stuff.
Yeah. As much as I'd like to be 19 again, I do not want to be that girl anymore.
Oh my God, absolutely. Like, being a teenager was the hardest fucking period of my life. I was so doubtful. Everything. So, yeah. Speaking of being a teenager, obviously it's quite like a turbulent time in your life. I've heard recently people discussing working in the adult industry can be detrimental on people's mental health and stuff like that, especially when they start from a young age. What do you feel about that?
I think there's a right reason and a wrong reason to get into the adult industry. I've met girls before who have been very adamant. They've really wanted to get involved in the adult industry. One girl I helped to get into it, her first video came out, and obviously people found out, and she didn't take it well. Her family didn't take it well. And it's kind of getting into things for the right reason. I don't think you should go near the adult industry if you've got any sort of underlying condition or preconceptions. You have to be aware that once you're out, your ball's out for everyone to see you. You have to be this strong person.
Yeah, absolutely. Ball's out, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
How have you found it's affected your mental health, and what do you kind of do to keep yourself on a good level?
I'm a very relaxed person ordinarily. I've never been one to get stressed out about things. I'm thinking smoking weed probably does help. I'm very, very chilled.
I mean, girl, it should be a medicine. Like, legalize it now.
Yes. No, I think it's about doing things within moderation. There was a point a couple of years ago where I felt so overworked. I was traveling all the time and I just missed my bed. I was like, I need to stop going away for a little bit and just focus on me, work from home, just because doing insane hours all the time, it's not good for your mental health. You are going to end up crumbling at the end of the day or having a panic attack or something.
Yeah, I think that's true in most jobs. I find a lot of people I know have been, like, signed off from their job, just regular office jobs, just purely from overwork.
Yeah. If you're doing something all the time, you just need a bit of TLC, really.
Yeah, exactly. And that points back towards that sex work really is just like a regular job. Like, you can be overworked. You can have a bad day.
Yes, completely. Every day. We're just normal people.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, Carly, if there are any women listening now who thought, I really want to get into the adult industry, I have absolutely no fucking idea where to start, where would you point them? Is there like an agency or any resources or anything?
We really don't have anything to help over in England, really. They might do in America, they're more agency-based. Mm. We've got a couple of good ones in Europe, but unless you've got that initial experience, obviously, the nice modelling portfolio, a couple of videos, even just amateur videos that you filmed on your phone, there's no need to get a professional camera to just obviously establish yourself. One of the first things I did when I started out is I put two videos on a free website straight away, just so people would be looking at me, getting to know my name and kind of that let people know this is what I am, this is what I can do, book me.
Yeah, I guess you can kind of like gauge the reaction as well and like send it to people and be like, hey, look, this is how good I can be and this is what these people think. Obviously, they're going to like me, so it's beneficial.
Yeah, and Twitter was, back in the day, was absolutely amazing. Until you get a shadow banned, Twitter is the best.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, I feel like a lot of people have been shadow banned recently. Twitter seems to be one of the most liberal social media platforms, but they've cracked down massively.
Yeah, they've gone to extreme lengths. I've seen girls who have got maybe 2,000-3,000 followers only, and they've still been shadow banned because they're on the edge of the adult industry.
That's obscene. What the hell?
Yeah, so it's not just people who have got tens of thousands that are getting affected. They're pretty much anyone that's using the wrong hashtags, or I think it's repeat content, like when OnlyFans appears every time you get a fan, they're blocking people who are using, have got bots on it.
What the hell?
Making so many different things.
It seems like such a kind of like campaign against sex workers, doesn't it? Like, that's the kind of thing you would want to do if you're trying to filter out terrorists from social media, not somebody that has a legitimate job.
No, exactly. I'm not sure why they've had a sudden change of heart or why they've gone to such extreme lengths, but I do feel like there should be a different way around it.
Yeah, completely. And they don't verify sex workers or anything, really, do they?
No, they're doing, well, it's probably for the best that they don't verify us all, then they'd have a nice little registry. But
that's very true. Yeah, I suppose it would just pin you down more. So I'm going to rewind a little bit here now. How have you found, you know, you said you posted your two videos online when you first started your career.
Yeah.
When you look back at them now, do you see yourself that you've, like, grown as a performer?
That is one of the things I do love about, obviously, the time I spent. I can physically see myself growing up from the 19-year-old girl at the very beginning to the strong performer I am today. Obviously, back then, I thought I was the bomb. And now
who doesn't?
I didn't have a clue what I was doing. You can tell who I've become from who I was.
That must be so rewarding. Like, it is a career that it must be so rewarding.
Yes, I love every second of it. I've loved what it's done for me, how it's changed me as a person, and kind of it's given me the fantasy life that wouldn't be possible for a 25-year-old to be in the position where I am now, living by myself since I'm 21, obviously being financially secure has given me that I never could have imagined ordinarily.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? Where they look so much down, well, some people look down on the sex industry, but most people I know have actually benefited quite a lot. Like, I've personally just bought my first house and I'm 25.
Yeah, people don't understand that it's not all that bad.
Yeah, completely. Oh, Carly, I feel so fucking positive now. Like, you've really, like, of course I'm a sex positive person anyway, but I didn't know the ins and outs, and you've really, really, not changed my mind, but like upgraded my kind of like love of the sex industry. It seems amazing.
I'm very glad to hear that.
So, Carly, just to wrap up, you said you obviously started when you were 19, and you're 25 now.
Turned 25.
Awesome. So are there any girls that we should be like looking out for, who's like the upcoming stars?
Oh, I have no idea, from being honest. No, I'm not sure. I'm not very good with names. I have to blame dyslexia.
Me too.
I like to keep an avid eye on Twitter. I'm always following new people. I love perving at the Americans, just because they're similar, but they're so different to us.
Oh, yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's we're a very different place over there. Like, especially state to state, it varies a lot. It's kind of strange. So, Carly, who's, like, your number one? Who's your girl in the industry? Who's your girl?
Who's my girl? I've always been more of a tomboy, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Oh, yeah?
Women, yeah. I'm 50-50 with women.
Yeah.
I can either tomboy girls, that's great, but proper girly girls, I'm always a bit awkward around.
Oh, really? It's so bizarre. People, I think, assume that it's quite ultra-sexualized and ultra-feminized, but it's really not.
No, you can still be a big old tomboy and get away with it.
I love that. You're a girl after my own heart, Carly. You really are. Well, babe, thank you so much for chatting to me. I'm so sorry. For those of you that don't know, my computer started installing updates, so our conversation with Carly's been cut a little bit short, but girl, thank you so much for chatting to me. You've actually taught me so much today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Carly, where can we find you online?
So you can find my online presence. I am on Twitter at Carly Rae Summers. And I also have my website, houseofray.co.uk.
Oh, you
and
love that.
As with everyone, OnlyFans/houseofray.
Fantastic. Have you got any projects coming out soon that you want to plug or anything like that?
I've got a very exciting parody coming out at some point. I'm not sure of the exact date of it, but the new Han Solo film, it's Han Solo. So I'm very excited.
Oh my God. That sounds amazing.
I was full body painted pink. So
no. So quickly before we go, I've just thought of another question. How do you feel about the kind of like parody porn? Like I saw Adventure Time porn once and it was very strange.
Did you?
Yeah.
I love it. I think, yeah, I'm all about the long scripts actually getting into thing. It takes most of the day doing the scripts before you get onto the actual porn side of things. But yeah. I'm all about the fantasy. That is my favourite part of my job.
Oh, I love it so much. Carly, thank you so much. I think everyone listening is going to really have a really unique insight into the adult industry now. You've really helped us all. Thank you so much, girl.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, Carly, you have a wonderful day. And it was so lovely to speak to you. Take care, girl.
Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.